Senior Power. This is Lynn McGregor.
And this is David Neely. And this next half hour of Senior Power will be filled with information and entertainment for
mature audiences only.
And Lynn, now we will have joining us Dr. Len Kay, Director of the Center on Aging of University of Maine. And of course, he's a walking encyclopedia about all things related to Maine seniors. Len, welcome to the program.
Thank you, David. Always great to be with you.
Well, Len, there's the area that you and the Center on Aging have been in the forefront of that's very important, more now than ever. Grandparents are getting involved in helping to raise grandchildren, in some cases just because both parents need to be working, and in some cases in lieu of daycare or in addition to, they're assisting with the raising of their grandparents. In other ways, there's even some financial support that way. But you have a certificate program at what you call Grand Families Leadership. Could you expound on that some?
Well, I'm so glad you raised that because there are that particular certificate program aims to better prepare community organizations to support grandparents who are raising grandchildren. And by the way, rural communities you'll find, such as Maine, Maine being the most rural state in the nation. States like Maine have higher numbers, higher proportions of older adults who have been there and done it before, but they're doing it again. They're raising grandchildren because the biological parents just are not available for one reason or another. And the unfortunate situation is that those grandparents aren't always supported to the degree they should be in terms of the entitlements and benefits that could make their efforts easier as they're raising the youngsters.
Yeah, I think there's probably a lot of grandparents, and including myself, by the way. I now have a grandson and a newly born, very newly born, granddaughter, where I believe at some point, of course, I'm still active in my employment career, but at some point I can see myself being of greater assist as I get to the point where I may be working either part-time or one of these days, if I ever decide to retire. I hope not to do that. I just got to have to stay busy. And I don't know if it's the amount of coffee that I drink or what it is. I just feel like I have to be going all the time. And I know that still those grandparents, bit by bit, are offering value to the greater family. And I'm wondering and I'm hopeful that because of what we went through with COVID and the problems in the nursing homes, et cetera, and the difficulties of getting the help, even with the nurses and the CNAs, et cetera, that the young people realize that it might make sense sometime, and thank God my sister does this, to actually allow for a parent or a grandparent to be living at home so that they can help take care of them in their final years. And I know Lynn's done that on behalf of her mom. Do you see a trend towards more of that, where the families are taking care of themselves again?
Oh, I wish there was that trend. I can't say I've observed it yet, because although it may be one of the silver linings that emerge from the COVID pandemic, and that is families sort of rediscovering home life and rediscovering the value and the importance of remaining connected to relatives. Where it is one way to battle against the isolation and loneliness of the pandemic. I hope you're right, David. I think it's too soon to say whether we are rediscovering the two and the three and the four generational family under one roof, discovering that older adults volunteer for their own families as much as they do for their communities. And both represent critical ways in which older adults give back. So caring for a grandchild is just as important and represents yet another example of how older adults can stay connected and stay and represent a really critical source for support in their community.
That's amazing. I wish more people did that, because I grew up in a family like that. I had a sister who, she and her husband traveled a lot for his work, and they always had a built-in babysitter with my mother, and well, with me, because there's 10 years between the two of us. So I was old enough to take care of the kids as well, but it's sort of that it takes a village, and it takes a family, particularly in this day and age. And I look at, you know, some of the older countries where families, generations all live together in the same home, and they take care of their elderly just like they do the young. And I find that sort of a sad state of affairs here, that we don't put as much emphasis on that here as other places do.
Yeah, the one caveat here is that technology has enabled families to stay connected, even though they may live at great distance from each other. So families nowadays may not reside under the same roof, but because of the internet, because of Skype and Zoom, and other ways that allow people to remain connected and converse regularly, families have, in a sense, rediscovered themselves with the aid of technology.
Good point. That it's an excellent one. We do that as well, because travel is so much easier.
Yeah, you know, it's not. It's, if many would still argue, it's not. It's not quite the same living in the same town, in the same neighborhood, and under the same roof. So, again, it remains to be seen whether we rediscover what we've lost when families began to separate from each other, and the youngsters headed for the bright lights of the big city.
Well, you know, and the other aspect of technology is, in some cases, the youngsters can get the good jobs and work remote. I think that's another potential silver lining that came out of the COVID era, and that allows them potentially to be there at home more with their children, but as well to be accessible and to be able to drive down the road to see mom and dad. You know, I think, you know, to your point, though, it's interesting that the multi-generational way of looking at the family, which I'm sure is part of what goes on with your certificate and grand family's leadership, is just, it's very important for us to keep that back at the forefront, so that we really do get all the value that comes out of having that senior active in the family life.
Yeah, the important term you use there, David, for me is intergenerational. There's a great deal of reward and value that comes from young and old together, interacting, getting to know each other, with older adults frequently role modeling for young kids in the family, how family members across the generations can be caring and offer support. There's much to be learned from that experience, and hopefully the youngsters who are witness to it, when they grow up, will have the same inclination to give back to their to the younger generations that follow after them.
Also very important. Again, with us today has been Dr. Len Kay, the Director of the Center on Aging, and thank you so much for being with us, Len.
Always a pleasure to be with you, Dave, and talk about these important issues.
Medicare is so confusing. I didn't know where to get help, but I wouldn't call a plumber in Arizona to fix my pipes in Maine. So don't call some out-of-state 800 number to navigate Medicare plans when your help is right here at home. The Senior Planning Center represents all Medicare Health and Part D plans. They have trusted professional experts in every county. You should call them for your free Medicare review.
Call 223-6565 today. That's 223-6565.
Next, we're going to have on with us Maine's longest serving judge. Now, this judge, Justice Donald G. Alexander, spent 41 years on the bench, and he has some interesting stories. And Lynn, I will let you take it from here, but welcome to the program, Judge Alexander.
Thank you very much. I'm glad to join you, and what would you like to start talking about first, 41 years ago or last week? Which way do you want to go?
I was just browsing through your history here, and I see you once brought in roosters to the courtroom with a case involving Janet Mills, and I just have to ask about that.
Well, you know, some of the cases you get involve animals, and that one was what Judy Harrison wrote about in the Bangor Daily News, was a case that we did have where we had a question of animal abuse because of, cockfighting that was going on, which is illegal in the state of Maine.
Yes.
It's legal in 13 states, but it's illegal in the state of Maine, and one of the things I had the attorneys do was, you know, I said, you know, we're got to have evidence about this. I got to have the so-called the best evidence rule, and I said they have to bring in a couple of the roosters to do that, which they did. The case wound up pleading. I told the attorneys I wasn't particularly interested in pleading it. I'd rather try it. You know, as a trial judge.
Sure.
No, but you know,
yes.
Trying an interesting case, I'm glad to do it. You know, you try some cases that are pretty boring, but that would have been interesting too. I mean, but you try cases like that. I mean, I tried a case also in which a bull had gotten loose at the Bangor State Fair. This was back 25 years ago or so now. Tried that down in Washington County. Somebody brought an action, you know, seeking damages from the fair and the people who owned the bull, and that case was tried to a jury in Washington County. The successful trial lawyer representing the bull in that was Valerie Stanfill, who's now Chief Justice of the state of Maine. Those are some of the interesting sidelights of cases you have. But she did an excellent job and prevailed, and the party trying to claim they were entitled to damages didn't get anything because of her work.
Case involving the bull, I mean, here you just mentioned about somebody who, in advocacy of, was able to win a case, which I'm sure this attorney probably had won many cases, but it just so happens this happened to be one of them, and continue to advance their career. I'm sure you've seen, attorneys come in with cases, and you at first thought, seriously? But then as you sat back and reviewed the case and all the circumstances, as perhaps was the case with the roosters and with the bull, that you realized that there not only was some merit, but that indeed they had the powerful case.
Well, that's right. And, because the Roosters case was a criminal prosecution for animal abuse. And it was a felony because of the way it had been done. And, you know, that's the way it was. And certainly I have other cases, too. I mean, another Washington County case I can think about was I had a person who was a male stripper who had a show at a bar in Bering. This is no joke, Bering, Maine, which is down in Washington County, and he'd fallen off the bar doing his strip show, and then brought suit in Washington County Superior Court seeking damages for falling off the bar. We had a jury trial on that one. Go ahead.
Oh, my God. So he was trying to sue the bar for damages?
He was suing the bar. He said they didn't have enough protection set up on the stage for the type of dancing he was doing. And so he sued the bar, and that was a jury trial in Washington County. And the jury, just like the Bull case, the jury awarded no damages in that one too. You know, that was something I did, like, was the middle 1980s in that one down in Washington County.
Thank you again, Justice Alexander, for joining us today.
Yes, thank you so much.
Great to talk with you.
We welcome Brad Dyer of the Senior Planning Center, one of our state's experts on Medicare health plans. Share with the audience, if you can, the fact that Medicare Advantage is, in a sense, a premium opportunity for people at lower costs, given that it will come in and help with dental, vision, hearing, and a variety of other benefits. And you may even want to speak to some of those other benefits as new plans are coming out again for this fall for the annual enrollment period.
Oh, for sure. So first of all, one of the traditional options that people have picked is a Medicare supplement program, a Medigap plan. And that is a plan that, you know, you've got your original Medicare, that's A and B, and then you pay an insurance company usually a couple hundred dollars a month plus per person, and then that kind of rounds out your health care, and then you need to get an individual drug plan for $30 to $50 a month, let's say. I don't know those numbers exactly off the top of my head. So you have a pretty substantial cost every month. What Medicare Advantage allows you to do is potentially, in a lot of cases, get into a health plan for $0 a month. Remember, the government's paying the premium, $0 a month. And the benefits that you get on that, first of all, you're not paying that multi-hundred-dollar a month premium every month, but you get benefits that can cover eyeglasses, benefits that will actually pay for dentures, and I mean truly they will pay for dentures, hearing aid benefits that have become pretty incredible. But then it goes even above and beyond that. I mean, you've got benefits that will help pay for food every month. There's a new benefit this year with one of the carriers that will help pay for your utility bills. It's cable, cell phone, internet, those kinds of bills. There's actually quite a list there. There's transportation benefits. There is an unbelievable amount of benefits you get, and there's no funny business, no strings attached. These are pretty incredible plans. So if you've got a fixed income senior, which most seniors are, and you've got a plan that will help pay for all of those things, that's less money coming out of the senior's pocket, not to mention less premium as well.
Brad, can you speak now about the annual enrollment period coming up October 15 to December 7 and what kind of an opportunity that is for current Medicare beneficiaries?
Well, let me just quick tack on to what you said. There's some really reputable companies out there, you know, that you can call and get help with, but the bulk of those companies, and the reason why we made this ad, it's to say, hey, by the way, you know, hey, the football player's a great guy, but he doesn't know anything about Medicare. He may be on it, and we're experts at it. And in those companies, a lot of them, you know, the folks that they enroll over the phone, 40 to 60% of them in the first year leave that the service with that company because they're not being serviced, and Senior Planning Center is big on that. But as far as open enrollment goes, October 15th to December 7th is Medicare open enrollment. And by the way, on November 1st, all the way into actually January this year, is the Affordable Care Act open enrollment, which we also help with. But for the folks that are on Medicare, you should be evaluating your plan. You should really take a look because there's incredible benefits. I know change is hard, but the one thing great about our team is they help make change a lot easier. And they're going to explain everything you need to know, all of the ins and outs, and you've got there to support my team to support you. And they are exceptional at that work.
And they do save people money. They do look the current plan you're on. And since the Senior Planning Center represents all the major Medicare health plans, if you really like that company that you're currently with, they may very well say, yeah, let's stay with that company. However,
sure,
you know, you qualify for Medicare savings program, or however, they have another plan that might even suit you better with some new benefits.
Yeah, and we're always going to put people on the right plan. If that means staying where you are, and let's say you're not a client of ours now and you call, we're going to ask you some questions, really important ones, to help determine what level of need you have and where you're at. And if the plan you're on is already right, I think the most thing we might say is, you know, let us service you. But beyond that, we're not going to change your plan. You're really in the driver's seat, and you've got a professional. And I've got about 30 professionals in our locations, and I've got about 50 professionals across Maine, New Hampshire, and Massachusetts that are going to be able to help you with what you need. We are so it's a team of more than 100 people truly, truly dedicated to doing the right thing for you, and you're in the driver's seat with it.
Well, Brad, we can't thank you enough for sharing all that information about Maine and its Medicare health plans. I think that to the point that you said, we aren't just in Maine now. Senior Planning Center is expanding, but for the majority of our listener audience here and Senior Power, they can be comforted in the fact that Senior Planning Center not only has 6 locations statewide, from the northernmost Aroostook County in Presque Isle to southernmost county, York County in Sanford, but we also have, as you just suggested, agents all over the state. So there's always somebody available who can help you with the Medicare maze. Again, Brad, thank you so much for joining us today on Senior Power.
Hey, Dave. Thanks for having me on, David.
It's time for Massachusetts to give up the idea that the first Thanksgiving took place in Plymouth in 1621. They've had a good run with their living history depictions of colonial life, which this year include serving a Thanksgiving dinner for $65.95 a pop. But it's time to give someone else a chance, someone worthy, like Maine. The Popham Colony in Phippsburg celebrated Thanksgiving in 1607. Mainers haven't made a big deal of this. Still, the story is out there. Seth Bradstreet III told it on the Maine Department of Agriculture's website in 2006. Bradstreet, a Newport farmer, was an agricultural commissioner at the time. Here is his account. In 1605, English explorer George Weymouth returned to Plymouth Harbor in England after having spent a summer exploring Maine's coast. Weymouth brought with him 5 Native Americans and tales of abundant fish, fur-bearing animals, and land, quote, fit for any nation to inhabit, unquote. James Roser, Weymouth's chronicler, wrote of the voyage of Weymouth's ship, the Archangel, at, quote, unquote, the Maine. Quote, we digged a plot of ground wherein, amongst some seeds, we sowed peas and barley, which in 16 days grew 8 inches above the ground, and so continued growing every day half an inch, unquote. Reports of Weymouth's voyage excited English businessmen. In 1606, King James I divided a region between what is now Cape Fear, North Carolina, and Canso, Nova Scotia, between 2 companies organized for colonization. Members of one company became known as the London Company. Members of the second company were known as the Plymouth Company, and the prime mover of the Plymouth Company was Sir John Popham, Lord Chief Justice of England. The London Company sailed to the New World and settled in Jamestown, Virginia. The Plymouth Company settled at Popham Beach at the mouth of the Kennebec River. The Plymouth Company arrived in, quote, the Maine, unquote, in August of 1607 aboard 2 ships, Gift of God and Mary and John. Shelters were built for the 45 settlers, as were a storehouse, a church, and a fort. A map recently discovered shows plans for 18 structures, but most of those plans were never realized. In the winter of 1608, the storehouse burned. That winter, the Popham settlement's president, George Popham, nephew of Sir John Popham, died of unknown causes. Raleigh Gilbert, a relative of the maritime adventurer Sir Walter Raleigh, succeeded Popham. The following spring, a ship bringing supplies to the Popham settlement also brought Gilbert news that his brother John had died in England, leaving him a vast fortune. Gilbert returned to England in September of 1608, bringing with him the remainder of the settlers. The settlement at Popham Beach lasted only 13 months, but historians Gould and Hatch document that the settlers, having safely arrived from England, built their shelters and prepared for the coming winter. They held a celebration of Thanksgiving in the fall of 1607, a full 14 years before the Pilgrims' first Thanksgiving. Bradstreet's account is well-researched and credible. The Smithsonian Institute says that British colonists held several celebrations before 1621, And some historians believe that the Popham colony in Maine conducted a Thanksgiving service in 1607. The Plymouth plantation itself says that Florida, Texas, Virginia, and Maine all declared themselves the site of the first Thanksgiving. Quote, and historical documents support the various claims. However, few people knew about these events until the 20th century. They were isolated celebrations forgotten long before the establishment of the Thanksgiving holiday, unquote. In 2007, Vicksburg celebrated the 400th anniversary of the colony's founding. Excavation over the years has produced important information about early colonial life. There's no question that this is one of the foremost historical sites in the country, said archaeologist Jeff Brain, who led an excavation. Quote, a lot of lessons learned at Popham enabled the Pilgrims to survive, so it was crucial to the foundation of English America, unquote. I know it's going to be tough for Massachusetts to give up the idea of having the first Thanksgiving in 1621, but as you heard here, history shows the first Thanksgiving happened in Popham Colony in Vicksburg, Maine, in 1607.
The Old Fashioned Thanksgiving by Edgar Albert Guest. This was written in 1881. Albert Guest wrote this, I believe, late 1800s, early 1900s. The Old Fashioned Thanksgiving. It may be I'm getting old and like too much to dwell upon the days of bygone years, the days I love so well. But thinking of them now, I wish somehow that I could know a simple old Thanksgiving day like those of long ago, when all the family gathered round a table richly spread, with little Jamie at the foot and Grandpa at the head, the youngest of us all to greet the oldest with a smile, with Mother turning in and out and laughing all the while. It may be I'm old-fashioned, but it seems to me today we're too much bent on having fun to take the time to pray. Each little family grows up with fashions of its own. It lives within a world itself and wants to be alone. It has a special pleasures, its circle, and its friends. There are no get-together days. Each one of his journey wends, pursuing what he likes the best in his particular way, letting the others do the same upon Thanksgiving Day. I like the olden way the best, when relatives were glad to meet the way they used to do when I was but a lad. The old home was a rendezvous for all kith and kin, and whether living far or near, they all came trooping in, with shouts of, "Hello, Daddy," as they fairly stormed the place, and made a rush for Mother, who would stop to wipe her face upon her gingham apron before she kissed them all, hugging them proudly to her breast, the grown-ups and the small. Then laughter rang throughout the home, and oh, the jokes they told. From Boston, Frank brought new ones, but Father sprang the old. All afternoon we chatted, telling what we hoped to do, the struggles we were making and the hardships we'd gone through. We gathered round the fireside, how fast the hours would fly. It seemed before we'd settled down, 'twas time to say goodbye. Those were glad Thanksgivings, the old times families knew, when relatives could still be friends, and every heart was true. Thank you for joining us on this episode of Senior Power.
My insurance kept going up and up and up and up.
I was getting a lot of mail about Medicare.
I could never have navigated through the loopholes.
Mainers across the state are finding help at Senior Planning Center, which represents all major Medicare health plans.
Senior Planning Center was a lifesaver.
Senior Planning Center did it all.
Gave me all my options and signed me up with what I needed within an hour.
Call 223-6565. 223-6565. Help when it matters most. Senior Planning Center.com.